The court will proceed to the fourth case of the day, Hoy versus Astru. Mr. Williams.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honor. Mr. Alicia. My name is Robert Williams, and I represent the plaintiff appellant in this matter, which is a Social Security appeal. We took this appeal, Your Honors, because we have a reasonable belief that this appellant is incapable of performing any type of work whatsoever. In reality and in law, with reference to the statute and the regulations, this person cannot perform any type of substantial gainful activity of any name or nature. We will hopefully have complied with the requirements of describing at each step in the ALJ's determination that error was committed at each of them. At step two, the ALJ does not include all of the impairments. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even call them impairments. He only considers all of the injuries, and this gentleman has injuries galore. That's error. At step three, he does not perform an incisive analytical determination, evaluation of each of this person's impairments.
You argue that at step three, the ALJ failed to consider the cumulative effect of all of Mr. Hoy's impairments, including his hypertension and his arthritis. But does the record support the notion that either of those two conditions actually imposed any limitations?
Oh, I think it does, Your Honor, for one thing, and for another thing, even if it doesn't, he still is under an obligation to do so.
Well, does the record even establish that he has arthritis?
Not arthritis, hypertension, and actually what I argue in the brief is fatigue. But he has so many impairments, Judge. The point is the ALJ does not take into consideration all of the impairments. He calls them injuries. And he does not relate this to Regulation 404-925A, which requires him to analyze it in the context of whether or not this gentleman can perform any substantial gainful activity. It is a perfunctory analysis under case law, and that's error.
The problem, as I view it, is that he's already explicitly recognize that his impairments don't meet or equal any of the listed impairments.
Your Honor, I would argue that that is incorrect, but if I may move on.
You may not move on, because didn't you concede to the ALJ that you couldn't find a listing that applied to Hoy?
I knew that was going to come up, Your Honor.
Well, that's why you were rushing past it.
No, actually not. I'm delighted to discuss that. Yes, I did. In my humble opinion, and if I don't run out of time, I will favor you with my thoughts as to what is the decisive controlling regulation in this matter. But I said at the hearing that I don't think that he comes on all fours with any particular listing. Now, that's my opinion. That does not preclude me from arguing to this august body that as we review the record that is incorrect. In my opinion, just so I can get it out before I run out of time, I think this ought to be decided under 201.00H. I don't think Mr. Hoy can come anywhere near performing a full range of sedentary work. And this case ought to be decided with reference to the grid, not to the listings. But I think that the ALJ committed at least two reversible errors with regard to how he handled and the analysis of the listings.
But how, for instance, should we deal with the fact that although he told two doctors that he used a cane, he didn't bring one to either of the exams, Both doctors observe him walking without difficulty, aside from the mild limp.
What do we do about that?
Yeah, what do we do?
Well, Your Honor, to me, that is kind of like the ALJ's finding that, this man can't be in very much pain because all he takes is Tylenol. There are people who are totally crippled who don't bother to use ambulatory devices whatsoever. But your recent case, Moss versus Commissioner, talks all about effective ambulation. And while there is one doctor who says Hoy didn't have a cane with him, we didn't cross-examine the doctor, Your Honor. We have no idea if this is true or not. This is based on reports. Another doctor says that he notes, Dr. Kale, I believe it is, notes that he has a history of being prescribed that it's useful to him. And, Judge, is there any conceivable way that a man with permanent hardware in his right tibia doesn't have a problem walking? Is there any way that a man who has been knifed in the left lower abdomen, who has had subsequent surgery for adhesions, doesn't have a problem walking? I think that the error here is that the ALJ didn't come up to the standard of Moss versus Commissioner, but the rest of this is window dressing, in my humble opinion. Additionally, at step four, it is unreasonable, to choose a kind word, to call Hoy partially credible in light of these really astonishing conditions of ill-being that he has. I think, if anything, Hoy understates the severe physical, particularly, problems that he has. And finally, under step five, the VE did not appropriately perform in this hearing, Your Honors. Under the direction, let us say, of the ALJ, because there is no question as to whether or not Hoy has any focus or ability to concentrate with all of these conditions that he has, which, again, many of which the ALJ did not analyze, did not mention. There is no analysis of what kind of absenteeism is required in order for Hoy to allegedly be able to do this limited form of light work. None whatsoever. And I was going over my notes this morning, and, I don't think the ALJ appropriately established that there was a 20-pound lifting ability here. And if that's the case, then just by the ALJ's own involvement of handling the hypothetical question, he is not in the light category at all. He is in sedentary, which is my argument. We ought to be at 201.00H. This gentleman has not been able to work since August 31st of 1999. It's just so obvious that this man cannot work at anything, and he really is deserving, under the law, under the regulations, of a fully favorable decision as of that onset date.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Alicia?
May it please the Court, Brian Alicia on behalf of the defendant appellee. Your Honors, the record does reflect that Mr. Hoy had a number of injuries over the course of several years, but the ALJ's decision also reflects that he reasonably accommodated any residual impairments or limitations stemming from those injuries.
Did the ALJ ever consider the cumulative effect of all of Mr. Hoy's impairments at step three of the analysis? And if not, does that require a remand?
Your Honor, he did specifically refer to three listings and found that Mr. Hoy's combined impairments did not meet or medically equal any of the requirements for those listings. At step two, contrary to Mr. Williams' argument, he did in fact find that Mr. Hoy had three severe impairments. And then he went on to refer to the various injuries Mr. Hoy had over the years and said that all of these combined more than minimally affected Mr. Hoy's ability to perform basic work activities. He then referred to those injuries again at step four in part of his RFC finding. So the record does reflect that the ALJ considered the combined effect of these impairments beginning at step two and through the remaining steps of the evaluation process. As far as the ALJ's step two finding, Mr. Hoy also argues that in support of his argument that these injuries should have been considered severe because he was at maximum medical improvement and that they were inoperable. But there's nothing in the record to suggest that these injuries were such. And as far as the ALJ's step three finding, he specifically referred to three listings, and he specifically referred to a stated requirement for each listing that Mr. Hoy did not meet or medically equal. In his brief, counsel doesn't refer to any medical evidence or any analysis that would show that he didn't meet, or excuse me, that he met or medically equaled listing 1.06. Instead, he theorizes that his right leg fracture could have met the ineffective ambulation requirement, but he doesn't provide any specific evidence as such. And again, he claims that Mr. Hoy's right leg fracture was at maximum medical improvement and inoperable, and again, there's no evidence of this. And we would argue that counsel before the ALJ said that there was no listing that he could find that applied to Mr. Hoy's impairments. As far as his credibility finding, counsel today argues that the ALJ didn't have any basis for finding that Mr. Hoy could lift 20 pounds. But in fact, as part of his credibility finding, the ALJ did consider Mr. Hoy's subjective statements, and one of his statements was that he could lift 20 pounds before he experienced pain. And overall, the ALJ's credibility finding was not a summary finding, as Mr. Hoy claims. And actually, going back to counsel's step three argument, where he raises Moss, in fact, the ALJ in Moss found that there was a lack of medical evidence regarding ineffective ambulation, but he rejected a treating physician's opinion that provided evidence on this point based on speculation that the treating physician was biased in favor of the plaintiff. And again, counsel also raises the argument of the grid applying, but this argument was raised for the first time in Mr. Hoy's reply brief, and there's ample evidence to show that Mr. Hoy was capable of light work with the restrictions the ALJ found. As far as the medical opinions of record, the ALJ reasonably considered these, and contrary to counsel's argument in his briefs, no doctor placed extreme limitations on Mr. Hoy's ability. In fact, the ALJ's RFC finding is more restrictive than the only medical opinion of record, that of the state agency physicians who found that Mr. Hoy was capable of medium work with certain limitations. As far as how the ALJ considered Dr. Kale's opinion, Dr. Kale specifically noted that Mr. Hoy did not bring a cane to his examination. He walked with a slight limp, and Dr. Kale specifically opined that Mr. Hoy did not require any assistive device to walk. Counsel also raises the ALJ's consideration of Mr. Hoy's medications, but Mr. Hoy did testify that he took extra strength Tylenol to alleviate his pain. And when the ALJ asked whether Mr. Hoy saw a doctor regularly, Mr. Hoy testified he did not, but that he saw one when he needed to, and at that point he was given Tylenol 3. He indicated that when I'm in pain, I'll go to a doctor for pain medication. And contrary to Mr. Hoy's claims in his reply, the medications that a claimant takes are not a minor point in the evaluation process. It's a specific factor that's considered under 96.7P. As far as the ALJ's RFC finding, Mr. Hoy claims that the RFC finding should have included limitations that were not alleged by Mr. Hoy nor part of the evidence, namely fatigue and poor concentration. Now, Dr. Kale did find that Mr. Hoy had hypertension. He diagnosed him with hypertension, but he found that it was mild. And there's no allegation in the record that Mr. Hoy complained to any doctor or testified at his hearing that he suffered from fatigue or from reduced concentration. So counsel's argument that reduced concentration should have been part of the hypothetical question to the VE in this case is unavailing. In fact, the ALJ's hypothetical question incorporated all of the medically supported and credible limitations he found, and it excluded allegations not alleged nor supported by the credible evidence. So there's counsel's argument, again, that fatigue and poor concentration should have been part of the hypothetical question is unavailing. And for all these reasons, we would respectfully request that the court affirm the ALJ's decision. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Leish. Mr. Williams.
May it please the court, counsel. Counsel covered a lot of ground, and if I may take the last point first, I couldn't disagree more with counsel, and he has done a marvelous job, and may I also say I think that the ALJ and Magistrate Cox wrote enormously intelligent opinions in this matter, worked very hard on it. I just happen to think they're wrong. I could not disagree more with counsel saying that, have mild pain, a mild limp, mild this, a mild that, and you just forget about that. No. In order for an appropriate evaluation to be made under the statute and the regulations, that must be related to and analyzed in the context of whether or not the individual can perform SGA, substantial gainful activity. Additionally, there must be, by law, an equivalence, a medical equivalence evaluation. That was not done. Counsel says that we raised the issue of the grip for the first time in the reply brief. Pardon me, but that was what I argued when I said I didn't think the listings were involved at the hearing. I said 201.00H ought to be applicable here. That was at the hearing, not in the reply brief. So that's not right. The broken leg. The broken leg, must that not cause some kind of problem just by common sense? And under Moss, which I, again, could not disagree more with distinguished counsel, Moss, this court determined, must get into, the ALJ must get into, how does the ability to walk, get around, affect the claimant's banking habits, the claimant's grocery shopping habits? And Moss says this is the ALJ's responsibility to bring out in the hearing. That was not done. I'm surprised I didn't hear the drum roll of how Hoy can walk four blocks, which the ALJ relied upon. Of course, he doesn't say anything at all about how he walks these four blocks. Hoy is homeless, and I would respectfully suggest, I don't know this for sure, but I would respectfully suggest that he meanders about in rather an aimless way and maybe makes it to a half a mile, but he certainly doesn't walk around like a normal person. And in any event, this analysis was not done under Moss. Counsel argues that the ALJ finds that he has reasonably accommodated this laundry list of dreadful conditions that he has. Yeah, he has reasonably accommodated them, Your Honors, but not by working since August of 1999. He hasn't been able to find any work since that time. And finally, my last point is counsel talked about how the ALJ went about discussing meeting or equaling the listings. But that's not appropriate. That is not, that's boilerplate. This court struck that down in Parker. He has got to, again, relate this to SGA and to a medical equivalence. And having not done so, it's error. It ought to be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you, Mr. Elise.
Case is taken under advisement.